Parshas Vayishlach, we would like to discuss this evening, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, a very important, maybe sensitive topic, very timely. Unfortunately, we're still in the midst of a war, and one of the hot topics at the moment in this country is the battle, I think there's no other word for it, the battle against the Olam HaCharedi, the Olam HaTeira. Why is it that they're learning in yeshivas, learning in koilim, and we should draft everybody and everybody should go to war? So let's utter a disclaimer. No, this evening is not about should you go to the army or not go to the army. It's not our discussion. But it's important to remind ourselves and to be mechazik ourselves. We have to understand, not just live, we have to understand our own hashkofas. What indeed is the role of Limud Torah, whether it's in yeshiva, whether it's in kollel, or the truth is, for everybody and for anybody, whoever learns Torah, whoever lives a life of Torah, what is that role, what is the significance of that role, always, but especially now, at the time of Milchama, and we're going to see Mitz Hashem, that this is a very topical theme in this week's parasha, because this week is the week of battle. This week, Parshas Vayishlach, everything we need to learn about how to wage war against the enemy, Parshas Vayishlach is the parasha. The Ramban, in the beginning of this week's parasha Vayishlach, he makes a brief two-line introduction and he says, whenever Klal Yisrael need to go to battle, they should learn Parshas Vayishlach, and all the Yesodos are indeed written in Parshas Vayishlach, so we're going to be mekayim the instruction of the Ramban and try and learn a little bit from Vayishlach. So Yaakov sends a message to Esav, as we know, and he says to the Malachim, this is what you should tell Esav. Tell them that I was with Lavan, in Lavan Garati. And then he says, Vayehi li shor v'chamor. I have an ox, I have a donkey, I have tzoin, I have eved, etc., etc. But he mentions in that list that I have a shoir and a chamoir. I have a shoir and a chamoir. Now, why would Esav be in the slightest bit interested that Yaakov has a shoir, the chamoir? The Medrash says, shoir is a reference to which one of his children? Yosef. So, possibly, Yosef, b'chor, shoir. So when he said by Yehili Shoir, what he was really saying was, I have a son called Yosef. Okay. Chamoir, who is Chamoir a reference to? To Yisachar. Why? Because the Torah writes, when he got his bracha, Yisachar Chamoir Gorim. That's what the Medrash says. So the Medrash says that when Yaakov relays this message, and he says, I have Shoir the Chamoir, what he meant was, he was alluding to the fact that he has children called Yosef, that's the Shoir, and Yisachar, the Chamor. And of course, this is something that we need to try and explain. Why would Yaakov need to hint, to relay the message to Esav that I have children called Yosef and Yisachar? Why is that significant? As we mentioned in the past, Maisa Ova Simon Labonim, every word, every detail, B'chol HaTorah Kula, but especially in the lives of the Ovis HaKadoshim, must be life-changing lessons, something important for us to inculcate in our Avodas Hashem. So we're going to try and work out, what did Yaakov mean over here when he says, I have a Shoir, I have a Chamor? In other words, I have Yosef, and I have Yisachar. So, as we mentioned, we know this is the parsha of the battle. We have the very famous Loshen in Chazal. Remember when Esav finally meets up with Yaakov, he gives him a big hug. So it sounds like they're on best terms. And what does Rashi very famously tell us? Halacha hi! Everybody knows the halacha biyodua. Esav soinei liyaakov. Don't make any mistake. Don't think that, oh, you give him a big hug and kiss, that you get on so well together. Esav soinei liyaakov. That is a halacha. What does that mean, that's a halacha? Halacha means that is something fixed in the Bria. That's the way it is. Non-changeable, non-negotiable. So what happened over here? So why did he give him a big hug? So Rashi says, at the last minute, he had a bit of compassion, but make no mistake about it. It's halacha, Esav, Soine, the Yaakov. Now we know, and this really is going to be the hakdoma to our whole discussion tonight, Esav and Yaakov are always at battle. Esav and Yaakov are always at battle. In fact, when Yitzhak spoke to Esav in Parshas Toldos, he told him, Al chari b'chostichi, you're going to live by your sword. But don't forget, it's an inverse relationship, meaning when Yaakov is up, Esav is down. When Esav wants to go up, then Yaakov needs to be down. They both can't succeed at the same time. They both can't fail at the same time. That is the battle. The battle between Esav and Yaakov is a battle of who's going to be the stronger, who's going to be the more victorious, but they can't both win. They can never, ever sign a covenant of peace. We'll get along very well together, like two brothers. No. It's a halacha that Esav Seine Yaakov. That's a fact. That's a non-changeable fact. That's a non-changeable fact. So what indeed does that mean? What does it mean as a milchama? What's this milchama about? Normally, nowadays, most milchamas, what are they about? Conquering land, territory. That clearly was not the machlekes. Esav and Yaakov had a fight when they were still in Rivka Imenu's womb, and as we know, Avodah Zarah, Beis HaMedrash, Vayisraitetu, they were fighting there, they weren't fighting about territory, they weren't... What's this machlekes about? So we need to understand, and these are very, very important yesodis that we're discussing tonight. Esav's battle with Yaakov is both spiritual and physical. Very important yesod to know that. It's a fight in Ruchnias, it's a fight in Gashmias. In Ruchnias, well, where do we see that there's a Ruchni fight between Esav and Yaakov? Again, it's all in this week's parasha. We all know the famous story. Yaakov is alone at night. He suddenly gets attacked in the middle of the night by Yivoser Yaakov Levadu. Yaakov is alone, and there's an Ish. Who is this Ish? Chazal say it's the Malach of Esav, and the Mepharshim explained the Malach of Esav represents the Yetzer Hara. So even though when you read the Psukim it sounds like it was a physical struggle, but what Chazal and are really teaching us is no, it was a spiritual struggle. The Malach of Esav is the Yetzer Hara. He represents the Yetzer Hara. And as the Yetzer Hara who tries to drag us down is Esav battling against Yaakov. That's one half of the battle. The other half of the battle is, of course, the physical battle. Again, also in this week's parasha. What do the Malachim come back? They report to Yaakov, well, your brother is coming with Arba Meyois Ish, 400 soldiers. So it was a physical battle. A physical battle. So we see quite clearly, and this, as I mentioned, is the Yesod, is the Hakdoma, that the Milchama, the everlasting, fixed, non-changeable Halacha, Esav Seine LeYaakov is on two fronts. Beruchnias and Gashmias. In Ruchnias, he represents the Yetzer Hara. He's trying to drag us down in our spirituality, in our Ruchnias. That was really what the fight between the Malach of Esav and Yaakov was all about. It was a fight about Ruchnias. Part one. Part two, there's also a physical battle. A physical battle. Esav comes armed with 400 soldiers in order to kill Yaakov. So there is a double-fronted machlokes. So of course, the big question is, how indeed can Yaakov ensure that he is victorious over Esav? Which, in other words, now means, how can we be victorious over the Yetzer Hara, the spiritual battle? How can we be victorious over Esav when he comes with his soldiers, the physical battle? If we've explained that it's a double-sided machlokes, beruchnias or begashmias, so when we talk about Yaakov's hatzlocha, it must therefore be on two fronts. How do we succeed against the Yetzer Hara? How do we succeed against the al-charib chosichya, the sword of Esav? And the answer in one word is Torah. And that's really our subject tonight. It's the koyach of Torah and only the koyach of Torah that allows us to succeed both against the Yetzirah, as represented by Esav, and allows us to overcome the sword, the Al-Charba Chosichya, being wielded by Esav. It's the koyach of Torah. So let's go slowly. The Chovos Halvavos tells us that there was a story that there were soldiers who came back from a battle. They came back from a battle and they were victorious. So somebody sees all the soldiers returning and he says to them, "Well done, but that was a small battle. The battle that you were victorious in, that's the small battle. Get ready now for the big battle, the Milchama HaGadoila." They said to him, "Umahi HaMilchama HaGadoila, which big fight are you talking about?" "Omar Lohem Milchemes HaYetza." Spiritual battle. That's a bigger battle. That's a bigger battle. So how indeed do we ensure that we can be victorious? So the Gemara tells us, it's all Mefurish in Chazal. Famous Gemara, we all know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Borosi Yetzahara. I've created a Yetzahara, Borosi, but I've also created Torah Tavlin." Torah is the antidote to the Yetzahara. And the Maseilas Yesharim says a very important thing. The Maseilas Yesharim says in Perek Hei, if anybody thinks that he can overcome the Yetzirah in a different way, then he's going to be very, very disappointed. Because it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the Yetzirah, and the creator of the Yetzirah tells you what the solution is. So where are you going to come? "I've got a better solution. I've got a better solution." Imagine you just buy yourself a new computer, and there's somebody who programmed that computer. "I am the programmer of the computer," he tells you. And he says, "Listen, sometimes the following problem might occur. It's true, I've programmed it this way that it might sometimes indeed be problematic. But don't worry, what I've done is I've programmed it. Also, what you have to do is, this is the solution. This is the solution." So you're going to have somebody who says, "No, I've got a better solution. I've got a different solution." You're arguing with the person who created the program in the first place. He's the one who functioned this whole computer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I was the one who created the Yetzirah. I'm the one who's telling you what the solution is, and that is, it has to be the Torah, the Koyach of Torah." So on one occasion, the Chofetz Chaim was once addressing the Vad HaYeshivos. What was the Vad HaYeshivos? An organization which exists until this very day, which represents the Olam HaTorah. Represents the Olam HaTorah, really, in order to put up the shield against those that have always battled and still do against the Olam HaTorah. So the Chofetz Chaim was there at this meeting, and he said in public, he said the following. This Malach, who as we mentioned is representative of the Yetzirah, why does he only fight against Yaakov? We don't fight the Yetzirah fights against Avram or fights against Yitzchak. Very simple question. Only against Yaakov. So the Chofetz Chaim says, very important you say it. What was Avram's main midah? Avram, of course, represents the midah of Chesed. And Yitzchak is Avodah. And Yaakov is Torah. Ish. Oyholim, he's the Ishtom Yeshivam. He sits and learns Torah. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the Yetzirah says, you want to do Chesed all day long. You want to do Avodah all day long. But just not Torah. That's the Yetzirah's main battle. He will fight till the end against Torah. Dafka against Torah, and that's why he fights against Yaakov. You know why, says the Chofetz Chaim? Listen to the Chofetz Chaim's wonderful explanation. He said, imagine if two enemies go to war, and they fight, and one side is victorious. One side is victorious. Does that mean that it's victory forever? No. Maybe the enemy will come back tomorrow to fight again. Today he was subdued. How can I ensure that indeed it's victory forever? There's only one way. If I take away the enemy's weapons, well then they can't come back tomorrow because they've got nothing to fight with. So if I can only capture their guns, I can only capture their tanks, then I really am guaranteed that the war is over because they have nothing to fight with. says the Chofetz Chaim, that we know what is Klal Yisrael's weapon against the Yetzer Hara. We only have one weapon. What is that? As we just mentioned, it's the Torah. That's why the Yetzer Hara fights against the Torah most. Why? Because he knows that the Torah is our main weapon against him. So if he can only take Torah away from us, then he really will be victorious. So he says, you know what, you want to be involved in chesed, pay to do chesed. You want to daven all day, daven. Just don't learn Torah. Just don't learn Torah. He knows that the Torah is the weapon with which we can be victorious against him. If he can only take that away from us, then indeed he will be ensured victory. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's why you will always find there's a milchama against Torah. In all of the generations, the milchama, the strongest milchama, is always against Torah. It's true, there's been over the course of generations milchama against other mitzvahs as well. We're approaching Chanukah, as we know. But even on Chanukah, one of the gzeiros was, l'hashkicham Torah secha. Why has there been, over the course of the generations, such a strong tirade, such a strong battle against Torah? That's the Yetzer Hara's battle. He's trying to take away our weapon. If he takes away our weapon, then he thinks he can be victorious. Therefore, so too, the Malach does not attack Avram. The Malach does not attack Yitzchak, but he attacks Yaakov, because Yaakov represents Torah. That's where the Yetzer Hara needs to focus his efforts. So therefore, as mentioned, this battle between Esav and Yaakov, which is double-fronted, two edges, is Baruchnius and Begashnius. So as we've seen, Baruchnius, he represents the Yetzer Hara. What is the koyach through which we can overcome the Yetzer Hara? The koyach of Torah. And what about Chelek Beis? The physical battle. The swords. Arba Meis Ish Imoy, they were all armed. So here we have the famous Chazal, and once again the answer is Torah. And it's all based on a famous posuk that we all know. The Medrash tells us that the Goyim came to Bilam. They came to Bilam and said, what do you think, Bilam? Do you think we can overcome Klal Yisrael? Do you think we can get the better of them? So listen to what Bilam said. Bilam told them, go into the Beis HaMedrash. Go into the Beis HaKnesses. If you hear the koil koil Yaakov, then there is no Yodayim Yudei Esav. This is the equation forever. HaKoil koil Yaakov, Yodayim Yudei Esav, means there's an inverse relationship. When there is a koil koil Yaakov, which koil? The koil of Torah, then the Yodayim of Esav, those physical hands of Esav, have no more potency, they cannot get the better of us. Therefore says Bilam to the Goyim, if you want to know whether you can overcome Klal Yisrael, go into the Beis HaMedrash, listen to what you can hear. If you can't hear anything, there's no Koil Koil Yaakov, well then you're on the up. Didn't we say before, when Yaakov's down, Esav's up. It's an opposite relationship. So once again we see that the Koyach of Torah is not only our prime weapon in overcoming the Yetzer Hara, it's our prime weapon in overcoming the physical, not just the spiritual, but also the physical threat posed by Esav. Now, we know in our history, there was the greatest battle that never was. What was the greatest battle that never was? Well, that haven't yet, but Chizkiyahu HaMelech against Sanherib. So what happens? Chazal tell us, and it's Mefurashim and Psukim, in Melochim, that Sanherav comes to besiege Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Now, like I said, it's the battle that never was, because as we know, we mentioned this beremez on Seder night, it's one of the things that were b'chatzos halayla, the Malach came and wiped out the entire army whilst Chizkiyahu was in bed sleeping. So not a single bullet was fired. But Al Koporim, how did that all happen? So if you look in the Psukim, it says Sanherib arrived with his hundreds and thousands of soldiers and arms and tanks, and Chizkiyahu went to bed. Sanherib was very insulted. here I'm coming with the strongest, most powerful army in the world, and what's your response? You go to bed. So he sent a message to the king, Ma habitachin hazeh? What's your bitachon? What's your security? How are you so assured? You've gone to bed? You know you're going to win the battle, but called the Seder Gamor? How do you know that? So what was the answer? So in the Psukim it's not clear. If you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that Chizkiyo HaMelech lit candles in all the shuls, in all the Bote Medrash, up and down the country. And he says everybody has to learn Torah. Va'omar, and he said, call me She'enoi Oisek Batorah. Anybody who's not learning in Torah, he took a sword, stabbed it into the ground outside each shul, and said, whoever doesn't learn Torah, yidoker, will be stabbed becherevzu. Chazal tell us, they checked up and down the country. There was not a man or woman, boy or girl, who wasn't learning Torah, who wasn't a tremendous boki in the most complicated halachas of the Tumah V'Tahara. What does that mean? What does that mean that Chizkiyahu said that anybody who doesn't learn Torah will be killed by the sword? Why? Learning Torah is a very important mitzvah. Talmud Torah keneged kulam. It's true. But if you don't learn Torah, you get killed by the sword? Where does it say that there's a punishment for not learning Torah, get killed by the sword? Says the Telzerov. Listen to the Telzerov's unbelievable pshat. The Telzerov says, a melech has special dispensation. We know normally if somebody's over an aveir, what do you do with him? Take him to Beis Din, we'll put him on trial, and we'll see which misa he has to get, if at all. A melech has special koyach. He has the right to put to death anybody whom he thinks is jeopardizing the security of the country. And he can completely circumvent Beis Din. No Beis Din. And the Rambam says, anybody who puts the state in danger, the melech can kill him by sword. Says the Telzerav, an unbelievable pshat. Anybody who doesn't learn Torah is jeopardizing the state. Because how on earth are we going to fight against Sancheirev? Hundreds and thousands of soldiers, tanks, arms, guns. Our only koyach to fight against him is Aladei Limud Torah. If we don't have Limud Torah, then you're jeopardizing the state of the country. And if you're jeopardizing the security of the country, Yidokeh Becherev. Yidokeh Becherev. Now, we must add, and this is not our discussion for the moment, there are plenty of sources that do suggest that we have to have a parallel Hishtadlus in Torah, and yes, we also have to go out and fight. There is an army. Klal Yisrael always had an army. So we would still need to explain, it's true everybody was learning Torah at the time of Sancheirev, but why was it not necessary to have an army that fought against Sancheirev as well in the times of Yechezkel Melech? I'll call upon him, but what's the story that we see over here? That our koyach against the sword, the Al-Harb Chaltichya, is the Koyach HaTorah. If there's no Limud Torah, then you're putting the state, Klal Yisrael state, in danger. And that's punishable by death. I once heard from a very Choshev Talmud Chacham, he said he was learning in Ponovitch Yeshiva during the 1967 Six-Day War, which was now over 50 years ago. The country were in tension. Very, very tense. Everybody was waiting with bated breath to hear how things were developing. And things are not like today where communication was very easy. So Bochrim were leaving the Beis HaMedrash from time to time, going to their room, turning on the old-fashioned transistor radio to hear the latest news, to update what's going on. And it was causing a riffian in the Beis HaMedrash. People wanted to learn Bas Modern the whole time. People were going out and coming in and finding out. So they needed a chizuk. So they brought in the great Magid, Rabbi Yankel Galinsky. Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. I heard this from somebody who was there. His name is Reb Shlomo Zafrani, very big Talmud Chacham. He said he was there as a bocha and he heard this. Reb Yankel Galinsky came into the Ponovitch Yeshiva and he said, "Merav Raboisai, I hear something very, very comical, very funny." Reb Yankel had a tremendous sense of humor. He said, "I've heard something. I've been told something very funny is going on. I've heard that Bochrim are leaving the Beis Hamedrash to go and hear the news." He says, "I'll tell you how comical that is." He says, "I want to give you a moshel." He says, "Imagine now if you would go to the front line of the battle where things are really being waged. And there's two army generals there on the front line and they have to make now a major, major decision that's going to influence the whole outcourse of the army. The whole outcome of the war is all based on this decision. Should they now bomb the enemy or should they not bomb the enemy?" And one says, "In my experience, in my military experience, I think now, yes, that would be the best thing to do." And the other one says, "No, I think it would be the worst thing because maybe they would react and if it would fail." And there's a whole discussion. The whole army behind them are all waiting for instruction. Are we advancing? Are we bombing? Are we not? Everybody back in home is all, everybody's waiting. The tension is unbearable. What will be the decision? What will be the decision of these generals? Will they bomb the enemy? They won't bomb the enemy. And the two generals themselves, they can't come to a conclusion. "We should, we shouldn't, we should, we shouldn't." They couldn't decide. And one of them says, "Oh, I've got an idea. I've got a great idea. Let's turn on the radio, switch on the news, and we'll hear there whether indeed we bomb the enemy or not." Said the other one, "We should turn on the radio to hear the news. We're making the news. Whatever we decide, that's what they're going to report on the radio. We should turn on the radio to hear what we decide. How weird and strange is that?" Said Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, "That's exactly what's going on in the Beis HaMedrash. That's true. Emesik Adas Torah. You're leaving the Beis HaMedrash to turn on the radio to hear the news. In the Beis HaMedrash, you're making the news. What they report on the radio is exactly dependent on what you're doing here in the Beis HaMedrash. How funny that is, how comical, how strange it is. You're leaving the Beis HaMedrash to hear what they report on the news. In the Beis HaMedrash, you're making the news. Because if only you would learn properly, Omol HaTorah, Eisak HaTorah, that is our koyach. If the koyel Yaakov is strong, your Daimide Esav have no koyach at all." Do you know, during the Second World War, when Europe was literally up in flames, Rachmana Litzlan, one of the Gedolei Yisrael, Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was in Europe at the time, and then came to Eretz Yisrael at the end of his life. So he has a whole bunch of Sforim, the Even Ha'ozel. The Even Ha'ozel. One of the volumes that he wrote on Kodshim, which is all the halachas of Karbonas, do you know when he published? In the middle of the Second World War. He writes there in the introduction, "Nigmar Sifri Zeh." This sefer of mine became completed at a time when there's Eish B'chol Ha'olam, and especially in Poland and Lithuania, Mokemus HaTorah. And he writes in the introduction, "Is now Bo'eis Kazois, is this the time to put out a sefer on Kodshim on Korbonus? Is this the call of the hour? Is this what we need now?" "Avol be'emes ein kan she'elo," he writes. He says, "The truth is, there's no question whatsoever. The question is a mistake. Dafka be'es ha'noira ha'zois, dafka now in these terrible, terrible times, onu tzrichim l'schazik b'limud Torah. If Europe is going up in flames, then you put out the flames with water. Ein mayim elo Torah." That's what he writes in the introduction then, and he brings a whole proof from it. It's well known that when did the Second World War break out? In 1939. Just before then, two Gedolei Olam passed away, Reb Baruch Ber and Reb Shimon Shkop. The Chazon Ish said, as long as they were alive, the Second World War could never happen. The koyach of their Torah would have fended off every sword from Klal Yisrael. The Koil Yaakov. Just of two Gedolei Yisrael. So listen to a theatrical play. A few Yidden once came to Rav Chaim Briska and he said, "We'd like to make a complaint, please. There's a terrible bizoyan atayra in our town in Brisk. Terrible bizoyan. We want to make a protest." Says Rav Chaim, "What's the bizoyan atayra?" Says, "In the theater, the Reform movement, or the Maskilim, they put on a play, and the play was called Milchemes Mitzvah." So they came to report to Rav Chaim, "We want to tell you what happened on stage." It was a very big stage. And on the stage, 500 soldiers, as it were, from Warsaw, all come and they're up there on the stage. All of a sudden, this is now representing battle. Milchemes Mitzvah, it's battle. All of a sudden, there's an announcement. What's the announcement? Anybody, remember the Pesukim in Parsha Shoftim? Anybody who's just built a new home should leave the war. That's what the Torah says, you've got to announce before the battle. So 100 of the soldiers left the stage. There's now only 400. How do the Pesukim carry on? Then there's another announcement. Anybody who's just become engaged to a wife should leave the stage. Another 100 left. You've only got now 300. Then there's another announcement. Anybody who's just planted a vineyard should leave. So it says in the Pesukim. Another 200 left. Anybody who's afraid, also a Loshon or a Pasuk, should leave the stage. So one by one, everybody's left. And who's left on the stage? Three old men with long white beards. This is all part of the zilzul and the bizoyan and the mocking, the ridicule. Who's on the stage? Three old men with long white beards. One of them is the Vilna Goyen, representing Kariyochel Lahavdil, the Vilna Goyen. One is acting as the Baal Shem Tov, and one is acting as the Shagas Aryeh. Three Gedoyle Oilam on stage there. This is all part of the play. And it's all supposed to be mocking. And on the stage, there's one big cannon, which is officially going to be their big war weapon against the enemy. 497 soldiers have all left the stage. Because the Torah says, whoever's about to get married, whoever's built a house, whoever's scared, is all going to leave. So there's almost nobody left, just three old men. Three old men. And then a whole discussion ensues. So who should be the one to shoot the cannon? It's all part of the play. And the Maskilim, the Reform, they're making fun of Gedei Yisrael. So Baal Shem Tov, as we know, he's Hasidish. So Baal Shem Tov says, "Well, before we shoot the cannon, first we have to put on a gartel and go to mikveh." And this is the whole spiel. And the Shagas Aryeh says, "No, first we have to learn a bit." And the Vilna Goyen says, "No, I don't agree with your Derech HaLimud." And they can't come to a decision. And they all leave the stage, and what's left on the stage? The cannon. Curtains close. So they came to Rav Chaim Briska, chutzpah neira, what is zilzal atayra? What is zilzal atayra? Making fun of the psukim, making fun of the gedolim, we have to make a big mochel. Said Rav Chaim Briska, "I don't know why I have to make a mochel, it's a wonderful play. I think every word is accurate. It's just a shame. The only complaint I would have, it's just a shame that they stopped in the middle of the story. Well, why did the curtains close?" "What do you mean?" Rav Chaim says, "Well, if I would have been a stage producer, I would have had one more scene. Then one of these Gedolei Yisrael got back on the stage, shot one fire from the cannon, and that was the end of the battle. One Gedolei Yisrael can overcome the whole enemy. So everything was right. The whole play is accurate. Those who have just built a home, and those who have built a vineyard, and those who have just got mad, they all leave. And all you need is a few Gedolei Yisrael. You need one shot of the cannon by one Gedolei Yisrael. If I hear the koil koil yakov, there is no Yudayim Yudei Esav. So I don't see any zilzul. It's a wonderful play. It's just a shame they stopped in the middle." So this is the biggest thing we're learning. As we said, there is a double-fronted mulchama between Yaakov and Esav. Beruchnias, Begashmias. Beruchnias, Esav represents the Yetzer Hara. But he also comes in a very physical way with the sword, Al Harba Chosichya. As we've seen, what is our weapon against? The Yetzer Hara, Torah Tavdin. What is our weapon against the sword? Torah, Koil Kol Yaakov. to come back now to where we started. Yaakov is now approaching Esau. So he sends a message and he says that what? Vayihili Shoir v'chamor. What do we say in the beginning? The Medrash says that Shoir represents Yosef and the Chamor represents Yisachar. So you ask, well, why is that important? What's the significance? Which two sons of Yaakov represent the Torah? Who did Yaakov Avinu himself learn Torah with? Chazal tell us, everything he learned himself in yeshiva, he taught to his son, Yosef. Yisachar is the tribe of Torah. Yisachar Chamor Gom, they bear the oil of Torah. That's the message that Yaakov is sending to Esau. You think you have any chance against me? I've got Yisachar, I've got Yosef, I have the Koyach HaTorah. In other words, the Koyol Yaakov is strong. So you have no chance with your Yodayim Yidei Esav. You have no chance with your Yodayim Yidei Esav. He wasn't just giving him some family news, updates. I've got one child this, I've got one child. There was a deep underlying message that I've got my Yosef, I've got my Yisachar, I've got the Koyach HaTorah, I've got the Koyach HaTorah, the Koyol Yaakov is strong. Remember what Bilam said? Go into the Beis HaMedrash, listen, if you can hear the Koyol Yaakov, then there's no chance for the Yadayim Yidei Esav. That's the message. That, I think, is what the underlying message that Yaakov is trying to teach to him. And therefore, just in conclusion, as we said before, it's a very political discussion, a very sensitive discussion. This is not a political shir. But we need to understand that every time, but especially at the time of Milchama, let's not forget, it's true, Yaakov has the koyach of the Torah, but he still had a battle plan. That was one of the, he sent the gift, and he split the camps. There was a battle strategy. As we said, Klal Yisrael have an army. But with the strongest army in the world, if we don't have the Koyol Yaakov, then we've lost. Then we've lost. And it's a great, great tragedy that there are those in this country, Yidden, Rahmala Litzlan, who are running the country officially, who don't understand this. Who don't understand that this is a tremendous tragedy and irony is, right, everybody has to subscribe to the army, but then you're closing down the yeshivas, which means that the army has no koyach anymore, because there's no Koyol Yaakov anymore. I'll just conclude with a phenomenal thing I heard. There is a yeshiva in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, Yeshivas Wolfson it's called. There's two Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Daniel Wolfson and Rav Baruch Neuwirth. Rav Daniel Wolfson happens to be my mechutten. When my son married his daughter, which was just over a year ago, it was just after the war in this country broke out, after Sukkot last year, I heard they told us that the other Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Baruch Neuwirth Shlita, whose father is very famous, Shua Neuwirth, he wrote the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he got a call from one of the top army generals with a request. This army general said, we've noticed since the outbreak of the war, and unfortunately, there's been tragedies, there's been casualties. Between 2 and 4 a.m. is when there seems to be the most casualties. And we don't understand why. It's not because it's dark. It's dark at 1 o'clock in the morning as well. It's dark at 5 o'clock as well. Between 2 and 4, we've noticed, since the outbreak of the war, there's been an increase in the casualties. We've come to the conclusion that it must be because at those hours, there is less limutaya. We're aware there's yeshivas and there's kolim and people learn 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, but presumably by 2 o'clock everyone's in bed. There are those who get up early, maybe from 4 or 5, but between 2 and 4 everyone's sleeping. So he asked the Rosh Yeshiva, please can you be mechazik limud Torah between 2 and 4? Which, by the way, technically was a very difficult thing for him to do. You can't ask Bochum to learn at 3 o'clock in the morning, they need to be awake. So he phoned up America. He was in touch with Lakewood, 7 hours behind. So can you please be mechazek, whatever, between 7 and 9 in the evening, which is between 2 and 4 here. But al koponim, you see that even those in the army, they realize the emes. Unfortunately, those running the country perhaps don't. But those who are there on the battlefront, they know that there's more casualties and we need to mechazek the koyol Yaakov. That's always been our main weapon and always will be. There is no other way to overcome Esav. If the Koyol Yaakov is strong, Yadayim Yidei Esav is weakened. And that therefore becomes our chayvas hashor, whether a person is learning in yeshiva, whether a person is learning in kollel, whether a person is kaveh itim, whether, like we said, man or woman, anybody who encourages Torah learning, anybody who's part of Torah learning, that is the greatest war effort that we can be involved with, because that way would be mechazik, the kollel Yaakov, which will therefore bring the downfall of the Yadayim Yidei Esav.